The next speaker is Isabel from Sports on quantum evolution and expanding the space.
Okay, so this talk should be really simple, really easy to understand, and almost trivial. So if there's anything you don't understand, it's probably because I didn't say it properly. And so you should not hesitate to ask me after, ask questions to clarify it. Okay. Right, so I'm first going to start by giving an introduction and a motivation as to why that might be interesting to do. To figure out how to do quantum so-called evolutions in an expanding Hilbert space. And I'm going to do present two possible alternatives. One will be where there will be creation of information, and the other one will be where there will no information will be created. So it's what I would call quasi-unitary evolution. In both cases, I'll give a simple example. In the first case, it'll be a lot simpler in the second case, but it should still be simple. And then I'll give a conclusion and outlook. Okay, so first, the motivation. Why would it be interesting to consider evolution where the Hilbert space is changing, where it's not always the same Hilbert space? So the thing is that there are systems where the Hilbert space, there exist some systems and some models where the Hilbert space is not the same at every time. So there are simple examples, like there's the naive models where when one tries to do quantum gravity things or discrete space-time where one has one qubit per volume. And in that case, if we have an expanding universe, then one would imagine the number of qubits to change. And until an hour ago, I didn't know, but now I just saw that Olaf Dreyer was kind of using a model like this for his talk, so it might be interesting for him. A second example would be for black holes, where many theories lead to the expectation that the entropy of the black hole is quantized, and there's a finite degree of freedom in the area. And so, in that case, if you have a black hole which is expanding because of taking in matter or so forth, then you would have a Hilbert space which is increasing. And last example, which is a bit different and not directly applicable to the talk, is QFT, because you have in QFT, you have one harmonic oscillator, well, at least if you only have one field, per space-time point, and therefore, once again, with as in the first example, if you have an expanding universe, then the number of degrees of freedom, your Hilbert space gets bigger. Of course, it's kind of qualitatively different because in that case you have non-countable dimensions for the Hilbert space. But in any case, it might be related. So I'm going to then define what the problem is. So I will abstract myself from all these examples and the possible applications. And I will simply look to try to find a framework for some quantum evolution in the case where the Hilbert space increases. And with one notable restriction, which is that the information that existed at a prior time must always be recoverable at a posterior time. So I don't want any information loss in the sense that prior information can always be recovered. So if I want to do that, I have basically two choices. I don't lose information, so that there's only two things that could happen. Either I get extra information, or I don't. I will first look at if information is created, and then I will the second thing I will look at if no information is created. Of course, in a general model, one could expect that the two could be combined in the evolution. Okay, so if information is created, but no information is destroyed in the sense that the prior information can always be recovered, then we basically have the situation which we have in quantum computing when we have a correctable code, because we can recover the same information. It's basically exactly the same thing. And so that simplifies the situation a lot, because then there's already a theory to explain this. And in a particular case, it can be shown that in all generality, if one has one can recover prior information, then basically the only thing that can happen is that the existing state is tensored with some other states in another Hilbert space, so that your new Hilbert space is the previous Hilbert space tensored with some new Hilbert space. And in that new Hilbert space, you have some new information. And then you can obviously apply a unitary transformation to mix all that the prior information with the new information. And then the way to recover the prior information is then very simple. You apply the opposite unitary information, then you have decoupled both, and you just can find your prior information. And then a very, very, very simple example. If you have an existing state, you just tensor it with a qubit, a randomly initialized qubit that can be, say, have probably one half to be up and probably one half to be down. And that's it. That's pretty much the example. In other words, we just simply add one qubit of information. Okay, now I'll give the formalism for to have an evolution when no information is created, but you simply dilute the information. The concept is quite simple. It's simply, and it's very intuitive. Simply, what you do is you say, okay, I have a Hilbert space here. I take a bigger Hilbert space, which in it contains my smaller Hilbert space. Then I send everything up into that Hilbert space, and then I do a unitary evolution on the bigger Hilbert space. So in that sense, you didn't lose any information, because you're simply sitting. The only reason the Hilbert space is bigger is because you're sitting inside that bigger Hilbert space. But to start with, you're not actually using the big space. So in the formalism, at each so-called time step, I will call the Hilbert space that we're using Hn here, which is at step n in the expansion process. And on that Hilbert space, there'll be this set here of this complete set of operators. And the evolution map is E here, which will send the state. This evolution map for the states. So it will send a state in the prior Hilbert space into the next Hilbert space. And because the dimensions of the Hilbert space are different, we can't use the traditional the map E doesn't contain enough information to also be used to send the operators from one to the other. So we need another map to send that will be the map that will evolve the operators from one time step to the next. And that map here, F, I should use this more, F was an algebra homomorphism, and it's the evolution map for the operators. So this is just the notation, the basic notation for it. And now I'll give the conditions for the evolution to be quasi-unitary, in the sense that it's simply diluting information, and it's almost unitary. So the first thing is what I mentioned before, is that up to some unitary transformation, the new Hilbert space must contain the old one. And in that sense, up to some unitary evolution, the evolution map simply sends the old Hilbert space to that new to that thing, which is the Hilbert space here, which is exactly the same. Right. So this thing should be here. Okay, it's the notation is ambiguous, but So the evolution map up to some unitary transformation is simply the identity on that that the old Hilbert space. So it basically takes anything on the old Hilbert space and sends it to exactly the same thing in the new one, up to some unitary transformation. But that's not enough. So basically, the states are sent from exactly to the same one and then unitarily evolved in the new one. But that's not enough, because we still have to, what's important in quantum mechanics is the operator. So we have to have a similar definition for for the operators. The eigenvalue of the operators, which give you the properties of your system, and therefore those must only change unitarily with it. So the first requirement is that basically all the this is the set for the operators. This is the index set for the operators at step n, and the index sets for the operators at step n plus one. So the basic requirement is that all the operators you had before, you must still have them after, right? And what you want is that, so this here is simply to say that you identify the evolved operators with itself. So this is the index on the operator. This is the operator at step n, and the evolution map for the operators simply identifies the previous operators with the next. They're basically supposed, heuristically, are supposed to be the same. Now, the important thing is that if you do the unitary, so basically before this unitary transformation, which happens on the new Hilbert space on the at step, yeah, okay. So this is the unitary transformation which is done on the new Hilbert space. So basically, this is if one sees E as simply sending the states to the equivalent state on the other one, and then applying this unitary transformation. This thing simply says that before the unitary transformation was applied, the operator gives the same eigenvalue. Right? Well, it basically acts exactly the same way. So you still have the same properties. Now I'll give a very, very simple example. It might make things clearer. So the idea is to one starts with simply SU2. So we have basically two dimension Hilbert space, right? You can have spin up or spin down, and we simply want to spread that. And we have one. So this information in this Hilbert space is represented on one qubit, but we can simply expand that to be represented on a lot of qubits in the following way. If one simply just by coupling, what do you call that again? Okay, so basically, simply because of this equation of recouplings, if you have three qubits, there is you have two spin 1/2 representation, and you can take a subspace of that, which is totally symmetric for all the qubits, and simply send your spin 1/2 that you had before onto that subspace here. So what one does is, when this is the like pre-evolution map that is going to be used to define the evolution map of every time, of every step n. And depending on how we, but so this is basically the important map. So spin up, we basically send it to this thing, which is also spin 1/2, and it's totally you, so you can't tell the difference between any particular spin, so it's totally symmetric, and it's also spin up with total angular momentum 1/2, and the same thing here, and you do something analogous for spin down. You have this, and the important property is that the evolution map, so this E here, commutes with the operators, the operators which are H, basically telling if it's spin up or spin down, and the annihilation and creation operators, and that's the important thing. So in the picture, this gives like this. So if you have here one little qubit, you can expand it to these three qubits, but it's still spin 1/2 and spin up like it was before. It's just the information is kind of put on more qubits, but it's still exactly the same thing. And then for the evolution map, you need to define the evolution map for the operators, and this is simply the standard coproduct. So there's nothing very special about that. It could have been done in a different manner, but this is just the simplest possible way. Right, so now that I've defined these basic functions, I can define my h at each step, and my evolution operators at each step. So there's basically two very simple, there's more than that, but there's two very simple ways to do it. One is to triple the number of qubits at every step n by simply expanding each qubit into 3-qubit, which is this thing here. And to put it in the previous formalism, it's this, but the easy way to say it is that at every step, I expand each qubit into 3-qubit. And there's the other way to do it, which is instead of expanding each qubit, I do a superposition where only one of the qubit is expanded into 3-qubit. And then I sum that, do a superposition of all the possibilities. Right, so that's about it. In conclusion, so in general, one would think that it might be possible to have a more general evolution move where there would be not that one could alternatively use one and the other in the same evolution. So at some point you put in some information, and at some point you simply dilute the information. And so in summary, there are some situations where the Hilbert space, the dimensions and the actual Hilbert space changes with time. And so for that, it's interesting to see how the evolution, how a quantum evolution could be done for that. And so there's two possibilities if one wants the preceding information to be always recoverable. One is to add information simply by adding more qubits with the information in it. And the other is simply to dilute it by sending the Hilbert space to exactly the same isomorphic Hilbert space, but just including a bigger one, and then do a unitary transformation on the whole thing. Or both. As for outlook for possible things to do, what would be interesting to, one important question would be, so especially in the quasi-unitary case, where there is kind of still a very direct link with a normal unitary transformation, see if one can, so in a normal unitary transformation, one has a direct link between the evolution and the Hamiltonian, and it would be interesting to see if it would be possible to do the same thing in this particular case. So I'd like to thank the organizers of the conference for inviting me, and also for providing funding as well as PI for me to come here. All right, thank you.
Any questions?
So is that just saying you have finite dimensions with Hilbert spaces and you have discrete time evolution? So how would you join us to a more physical continuous time evolution in dimensional spaces?
That's a very good question. So it's not necessary. I don't know. For at least for continuous time evolution, it would be very difficult because, I mean, the dimension of Hilbert space is something which is discrete, right? And so one cannot continuously pass from a Hilbert space from one dimension to a Hilbert space from another dimension. At least if the Hilbert space is discrete. As for your other question, what was it again?
Infinite dimensional Hilbert space.
Oh, yeah. For infinite dimensional Hilbert space, yeah, I don't know. The hope would be that, you know, in quantum gravity and if things are discrete, everything would always be finite. So that's where it would apply.
If I understand correctly, it was going to take n to infinity?
Yeah, I guess so.
And for also understand correctly, you're trying to isometrically invest the Hilbert space that short time to later times.
Yes.
You also want to construct a start in order to multiply early times into later times?
Yes.
Okay, so then this whole construction is called inductive limit of Hilbert space and start with it.
Okay, I never heard
and
of it.
It works for infinite dimensional Hilbert space and for in excess of, I think, more arbitrary formalities.
More questions around insights? If not, let's send it to Isabel again.